sung, here's a very, very thought-provoking question. If heaven's not my home, then what will I do? According to the Bible, if heaven's not my home, then I weep and wail and gnash my teeth throughout all eternity in that place prepared for the devil and his angels. Indeed, it behooves every accountable individual to recognize his need for God, to learn the truth, be obedient unto the gospel, and to live in the service God has ordained. This morning, we're very grateful and thankful that God has made it possible. We're again on time side of an unending eternity and be able to assemble together to worship God in spirit and in truth, in keeping with his will, that all of us might be strengthened and built up in the most holy faith. We do have visitors in the assembly, and your presence is greatly appreciated. And we would very sincerely invite you to come back and be with us every time you have the opportunity of returning. I'm grateful this morning for the opportunity of being able to speak. On the other hand, I'm saddened because of the reason. Brother P.J., who normally is preaching here at this time, has pneumonia, is not physically able to be present this day. I need to pray for him that he might be to speedily recover, be back with us very soon, and I'm very confident that that is exactly what will take place. Back in the 1940s, a movie was made entitled It's a Wonderful Life, starring Jimmy Stewart, who played the part of George Bailey, who became very, very despondent. He looked upon his life as if he had been an utter failure. He's about to take his life, commit suicide there on the Christmas Eve. Then suddenly his guardian angel, Clarence, appeared, seeking, I guess, to earn his wings. And Clarence let George know that really his life had not been a failure. Caused him to look back upon his life and to see what life would have been in that community had he never lived. To realize that really he was not the failure he thought it was, but had been very successful. I'm told that that movie received an award for being the most inspirational movie of all time. And seemingly it's played just about every Christmas Eve. Getting away from George Bailey and It's a Wonderful Life, we live in the real world. And in the world in which we live, and in particular in our society, it seems that Christianity is being criticized more and more by many individuals. Friedrich Nietzsche described Christianity as the poison that has corrupted all society. Many individuals denigrate the person of Jesus Christ. We could have become very despondent. But on the other hand, there's times when we as God's people need to stand up and to speak up. We should fight, as it were, what Paul called the good fight of faith in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10 or 12. Recognizing, as we'll learn in our study this morning in the Bible class, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Thus we need to take up the fight and let people recognize how important Christianity is and how blessed we are because a person called Jesus was born. And so in our study this morning, we're not inquiring, what if George Bailey had never been born? But rather, what if Jesus had never been born? It is a very historical fact, documented by virtually all informed individuals, that a man called Jesus was indeed born. The Old Testament pointed forward to his coming. But call to mind in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, God let it be known that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. And learn in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 that Jesus, the seed of the woman, was born in the fullness of time. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, God informed us that through the seed of Abraham, all nations of the earth would be blessed. We learn in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He says, not the seeds unto many, but as one unto your seed, which is Christ. Jesus is the seed of Abraham. And he informs us in verse 29, if we belong unto Christ, then we're Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, God was giving a sign that a virgin would conceive and bear a son. And they would call his name Emmanuel. And in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, he said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Old Testament pointed forward to the arrival of Jesus Christ. And the New Testament begins with an announcement of his birth. And thus in Matthew chapter 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, then traces lineage. Verses 2 down through verse 17, all the way from Abraham to Jesus Christ. Then we notice in verse 18 that Joseph was espoused to Mary. She was found with child. He had not known her carnally. Being a just man, he was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought upon those things, the angel of the Lord informed him that that was informed and conceived in her was of the Holy Spirit. Then quoted the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 and applied it of Jesus Christ. He said his name shall be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And that's in Matthew chapter 2. We learn that Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Indeed, the Bible shows the Old Testament pointed forward to his coming, the New Testament beginning with his arrival, and secular history confirms the fact that Jesus was born. No informed individuals of history would deny that a man called Jesus was born. But what we ask would have been, if Jesus had not been born, first of all, if Jesus had not been born, human life would have remained devalued. Many of us, including me, are critical of the gradual loss of the sanctity of life in the minds of many people today, especially evidenced by the alarming rate of abortion. But even now, it's not nearly as bad as it was in ancient Rome and Greece. Abortion was very common. Unwanted babies were often left in the woods to die. Deformed babies were often left abandoned. Rome considered a child the property rights of the father until he was 8 years of age. If he wanted to kill the child or sell the child, that was his prerogative. But Jesus placed great value upon the importance of children. In Matthew chapter 18, when the disciples were questioning concerning who's going to be the greatest, Jesus called a little child and set him in the midst of them and said, "Except you be converted and become as little children, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." In Matthew chapter 19, there were those who were bringing their children to Jesus that he might bless them. His disciples murmured and complained. But Jesus said, "Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Jesus placed great value on children. If Jesus had not been born, human culture would have suffered. According to Donald Sauchenbach, in the book Advancing the Culture, he said the pre-Christian tribes, especially those of the Western Hemisphere, were known for brutal forms of slavery, human sacrifice, and cannibalism. Can you imagine sacrificing human beings? Can you imagine the idea of cannibalism, humans eating humans? The same author argued that the principles of the kindness taught by Jesus Christ and the religion of Christ was largely responsible for eliminating the behavior. He just noted in that book, Advancing the Culture. If Jesus had not been born, women would not have been elevated. In the pre-Christian world, women were generally demeaned. If a man invited guests into his home, his wife was to stay in the other room, not properly respecting the wife and women. But Jesus showed respect for women. Think about in John chapter 4. Jesus was traveling from Judea to Galilee, went through Samaria, paused there to rest at Jacob's well, while the disciples went into the village to buy food. And a Samaritan woman came to him. He asked her for a drink of water. She said, "How is it you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, a woman of Samaria? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." But Jesus, upon that occasion, introduced her to the water of life, informed her she could drink thereof and live eternally. Later on in John chapter 8, some Jewish leaders wanting to tempt Jesus brought a woman to him. Says she's taken in the very act of adultery. They didn't bring the man, they brought the woman. He was just as guilty, maybe even more so. They reminded him that Moses and the law commanded that such should be put to death or stoned. "But what do you say?" Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground as though he were not hearing them. They continued asking. Then said he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. They, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the eldest and the last. She was left alone. He said, "Has no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." He said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Jesus had regard for women. John 11. Lazarus, a good friend, a brother to Mary and Martha, died. Jesus returned back to Bethany. Martha approached him. If you had been here, my brother had not died. He had let her know, I'm the resurrection and the life. In that chapter, as they witnessed the sisters weeping, the Bible lets us know that Jesus wept. He's able to relate to them, having compassion. We inquire, could this be one of the reasons why women were so courageous when Jesus was crucified? We think about Judas, who betrayed the Lord. And Peter, who denied him 3 times and cursed and swore, saying, I know not the man. But when they were there, they didn't flee. And after he was crucified, Luke chapter 23, they began to prepare spices to come and to anoint the body of Jesus. And they were the first to arrive at the tomb. They did not find the body. The angel, he's not here. He's risen. If Jesus had not been born, education would have suffered. One would not know that by reading much of what is put out by the NEA today, much of which I think had been affected, adversely so, by the philosophy of secular humanism. But from the standpoint of history in the United States, the origin and purpose of public education largely was to teach God's truths. Harvard, Yale, William and Mary, Princeton, etc., were founded by churches as biblical training centers. If Jesus had not been born, the medical field would have suffered. Hospitals were first introduced by believers in Jesus in the 4th century. Before that, there were doctors, potions, shrines, but no such thing as being nursed or cared for in a facility known as a hospital. Plato said, you shouldn't give medicine to those who are going to die anyhow. Jesus had a tremendous impact on the medical field. But looking at it from a doctrinal perspective, what if Jesus had not been born? If Jesus had not been born, there would be no New Testament. In Hebrews chapter 1, it starts out, God who at sundry times, and in divers manners, spake in time past in the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And you skip on down to verses 15 through 17. After reading regarding the crucifixion, the death of Jesus Christ, he said, for this reason, for this cause, he's the mediator of the new covenant. Let us know that the new covenant, like anybody's will, became effective following his death. And that Jesus, by reason then, of his death, has become the mediator of the last will and testament of God, namely the New Testament. Had Jesus not been born, there would be no New Testament. Had Jesus not been born, there'd be no Sermon on the Mount. Think about Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. The sermon that began with the Beatitudes. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. He goes on and talks about the different beatitudes that have certainly ennobled life and benefited all of us. You think about the golden rule. Whatever you would that men should do to you, do you also unto them, for this is the law and the prophets. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Had there been no Jesus Christ, had he not been born, there would have been no Sermon on the Mount. Had Jesus not been born, there'd be no real example of true love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3 and 16, often called the golden text of the Bible. John 15, 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. For God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Had Jesus not been born, there'd be no real example of real love. Had Jesus not been born, there'd be no perfect example of true obedience. Remember there in John chapter 4, where the Lord was speaking to the woman at the well. The disciples came back from the village having obtained food. They said, Master, eat. He said, I have meat to eat of that you know not of. They wondered, has any man brought him aught to eat? But Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Later on in John chapter 6, he said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. I think it rather interesting when you turn to Luke chapter 2. You read about Joseph and Mary going to Jerusalem to observe the Passover when Jesus was 12 years of age. When the days of the Passover feast were concluded, they departed from home, unwittingly leaving Jesus behind, assuming he was in the crowd. They went a day's journey without him. They looked among their kinsfolks and friends, and they didn't find him. They went back, found him in the temple, in the presence of the doctors and lawyers, asking them and amazing them with the questions and the answers that he gave. And Mary said, son, why have you dealt with us? We sought thee sorrowing. He said, wish ye not, I must be about my Father's business. Those are the first recorded words of Jesus. I must be about my Father's business. The Apostle Paul, Philippians chapter 2, talked about Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, being made in the fashion of a man, and as a man he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now that's genuine obedience. Voluntarily surrendering the glory that he had in heaven and coming to the earth. And living among men as a man and dying upon the cross to pay our sin debt. Had Jesus not been born, there'd be no New Testament church. He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In Acts chapter 20 and 28, I learned that the church was purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5 and 23, we learn that Jesus gave himself for it. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 16, we learn that it's the body, the one body, in which Jew and Gentile can be reconciled unto God. Had Jesus not been born, there'd be no peace with God. Isaiah described him as being the Prince of Peace. The subject matter of Ephesians chapter 2 is peace. Jesus is the person of peace. His blood is the price of peace. His church is the place of peace where we might be reconciled unto God. But had Jesus not been born, there'd be no real peace with God. Had Jesus not been born, there'd be no hope of a resurrection. He told Martha, I'm the resurrection and the life. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in that great resurrection chapter of the Bible, affirmed that there was going to be a general resurrection, but guaranteed by the resurrection of Jesus. So we notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 20 through 22, But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Many of us have made that sad trip to the cemetery, where we entomb the body of a loved one. But on the other hand, many times we're strengthened by the realization that one day this corruptible is going to put on incorruption, and this mortal is going to put on immortality. The dead are going to be raised again, made possible by the fact that Jesus was born. Had Jesus not been born, there'd be no access unto God. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Paul said there's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The Hebrew writer said he ever lives to make intercession for those who come unto God by him. I'm thankful that God exists. I'm thankful that I'm able to go to the throne of God and hear, have my prayers heard. But that was made possible because of Jesus Christ, who is our advocate with the Father, through whom we can approach unto God. Had Jesus not been born, there'd be no victory over Satan. As we learn so clearly in Hebrews chapter 2 and 14, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. Had Jesus not been born, there'd be no hope. There'd be no salvation from sin. We've touched on a few of the what ifs if Jesus had not been born. I'm so thankful that he was born. We should thank God for his unspeakable gift, as he's described in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. As Jesus was born, he made a difference. Beloved, has he made a difference in your life? Do you belong to him? Are you a Christian? Are you part of his body, the church that he purchased with his own blood? If you're not, he's inviting you to come unto him, promising to give you rest if you respond in gospel obedience, believing that he is indeed the Son of the living God, genuinely repenting of your sins, and sincerely confessing your faith that Jesus is the Son of the living God, then arising and being immersed in the waters of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ and for the forgiveness of sins. And upon so doing, your sins will be washed away. You'll be added to the church, the family of God. You become an adopted child in God's family. How could any individual mindful of the alternatives even momentarily hesitate to obey the gospel? It may be that you've done this, but have turned aside. If you have, you need to come back home today unto Jesus by repentance. by confession, by prayer. Won't you come right now while together we're standing and while we're singing? Good.